Welcome to today's Ops. This is a call on the 27th of August. On the call today, we have Olivier Coupin-Leblanc, Jim Galvin, Mark Cuthbert, Mikey O'Connor, Jörg Schweiger. From ICANN staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Patrick Jones, and Christina Nordstrom. And as guests, we have Christy Spain and Bill Graham. And apologies from Julie Hedlund. That's all.
All right. Thanks, Christina. Always, these are always complicated calls to set up, so special kudos on today's. Up in the corner of the Adobe screen, we've got sort of a tentative agenda, but we can certainly modify it. This is mostly a call to talk about the joint coordinating between the DSSA work and the work of the DNSRMF. Mostly with the goal to clarify what's going on, make sure that we don't accidentally overlap with each other, et cetera. And so what we've got is a pretty simple agenda, talk a little bit about potential overlaps, explain kind of the two efforts, and then see if we can figure out a way to coordinate this so that we don't either duplicate work or leave some gaps. So that's sort of the view from the DSSA side. Chris or Bill, do you want to chime in from the DNSRMF/board perspective on this before we get going?
Is that close? I'll jump in, Mikey. Thanks very much. I think this is a very useful call to have at this point before the DNS risk management framework work actually gets going in a significant way. As you know, we met in Prague, several of us anyways, and talked about the way things were intended to go and tried to work some language into the request for proposals for a consultant that would try to avoid any duplication and make sure that the DSSA work and other work that's gone on in ICANN is used and not redone. That continues to be the goal here, I think, and really we've just been waiting since Prague. The request for proposals is out. It closes on Friday, and we'll see what kind of bids we get. But the intention is definitely to work closely with you. At the same time, I've heard from a number of sources that the concern about overlap continues to exist, and I'd love to hear that the specific areas of concern so we can take steps to avoid those and also any general concerns, because we really do want to make use of the good work that's been done and not be in an overlap situation. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. And I think that concern is probably a little too strong. It may be just confusion. Oh, Chris has got his hand up. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Thanks, Mikey. Look, I agree with Bill. I just wanted to say that I understand why, you know, it's come to this point. And I think it would pay the members of the DSSA working group in making a decision to remember, and I'm not pushing one way or the other, but to remember the reasons why we set this up. And we set it up because there was a concern that ICANN was being pushed into an area that actually wasn't ICANN's responsibility. It was individual registries and CCTLD's responsibilities. And that the work was better done by us rather than anyone else. The question now for this group is, it seems to me, is whether the threat is too strong a word, but whether, you know, the pushing stuff into ICANN has disappeared and whether it's done as much work as it can do. And I don't know the answer to that, but I just think it's important not to lose sight of the original reasons for setting it up.
Right, and I think that's, you know, I'm going to sort of, given that lead-in, I'm going to switch around to a work planning document that we worked on in the mostly in the operations crew, the leadership group that's on this call. But we certainly talked about it to the whole DSSA. And I sort of want to take you through the evolution of our thinking, because I think that the question that you pose, Chris, came up on our conversation. And I think that Jim was probably the most articulate in saying this, and the question really is exactly that. I've just thrown a different version of this planning document up on the screen, because one of the things that we could do, we the DSSA could do, is we could end. We could basically say, we did a darn fine job on that first report. We could do a little tidy up work up in the upper left there. We could bring, and I think that the schedule on that's a little aggressive, but I'll get to that in a second. But fundamentally, the approach could be to wrap up the work and essentially declare victory and call it done. We had a pretty lively discussion about that, both in the ops group and then in the larger group as well. And it was sort of during those discussions that the conversation about the DNS RMF came up, because you know, there is a strong parallel there. I'm sort of personally of the view that there is not an overlap, but you know, there is, I think, the need to coordinate it. And ultimately, where we wound up was we hedged just a little bit. And this is essentially the plan that we're operating under right now, in which what we're going to do between now and Toronto is really breaks down to three things. We've already put the report out for public comment, and we think that that public comment cycle is probably going to take at least to the end of Toronto, and then after that public comment cycle is done, we need to fold those comments into the report and come back to our respective groups for endorsement. The key discussion was around our charter, which is our charter was to do a risk assessment. And the question then becomes, well, if we declare victory now, we haven't done a risk assessment yet. And so we haven't really lived up to our charter. So what are we going to do about that? I see the queue building, and I'll just wrap up this little rant, and then I'll swing to the queue. At least right now, our thinking is that we're going to essentially defer that decision a bit, presuming that we're going to continue on with the risk assessment that we were chartered to do, but leave ourselves some wiggle room to learn from the DNS RMF stuff and things we learned from the comments and so on. But our thought, at least at this stage, is that we're going to continue on with some kind of a risk assessment. And that's what the remaining work on the three little arrows there is. So with that, now let me swing back to the queue. Sorry that I was busy staring at the wrong screen. Jim, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. I want to more or less agree with everything that you said. I want to add one thing to it, and bear folks' indulgence if I just repeat a little bit of what you said, Mikey. I was the one who had raised and kind of pressed this question, you know, quite forcefully inside of our ops group here about, you know, the future direction of the ops group. And
the piece that I wanted to add is about the fact that I think the landscape is quite a bit different now than it was when this group was created. And if you add to that the fact that participation in our group here is sort of waning, and it's, you know, I mean, as is typical with groups that, you know, tend to be kind of long running, and we're 18 months going on 2 years here, so we do fall into the category of having been long running. So in spite of the long list of, you know, alleged participants, we're really quite limited in who's focused and a part of it. But it is fair that those who are active and part of it point out that there really were two, you know, very big goals in our charter here. We have put together a set of procedures and a method for conducting a risk assessment. And, of course, it was suggested that we do a risk assessment. One of the things that's interesting is we've actually identified five possible areas in which we could do our risk assessment. And so one of the questions becomes picking the right area and going forward with that with our methodology. It's been my assertion that, well, given that the landscape is different, if we accept that, and given that our set of participants is, you know, has been weakened, and the existence of this, you know, the DNS RMF work that's going on the board committee, it felt like an opportune time, and this is why I had put this forward, to actually shut down this group rather than doing this, you know, what Mikey is saying here about hedging a bit. Maybe we should seek to close. We put together methodology. We should very strongly advocate for some kind of risk assessment being done, but that should be evaluated separately, given the new landscape and the presence of this board committee, and we should seek other advice and comments and, you know, perhaps then create a new group with a new charter and a goal to go forward and do that. So, you know, I just wanted to put that little bit of color or shape, if you will, on this whole discussion. I mean, as Mikey said, where we are is we are going to try and come to closure on the report that we have, and we're actually hedging and making a final decision about what we're really going to do going forward. There is, amongst those who are participating, a commitment to want to do a risk assessment. So, you know, the question really just becomes whether continuing it in this group or stepping back and doing it in a different way is the right thing. And that's, you know, an important question that we have to ask ourselves and answer. And any comments that Bill or Chris have about that question would be valuable now or, you know, leading up to Toronto if you wanted to make them. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. I was hoping that you'd jump in because you do that rant better than me. Jörg, go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Mikey. So, Jörg, for the transcript, I do not want to draw conclusions right now as Jim already did, but just do want to contribute to being able to draw a conclusion. And what I would like to point out that to a certain degree, I would disagree to what you've been saying before, Mikey, and that is that we do not see an overlap or do not see a substantial overlap. I certainly do see at least two overlapping issues. The first one would be that even though we haven't been asked to, nevertheless, we came up with a risk management framework. We picked one, and we discussed that one, and we tailor it to make it useful for ICANN. So we do have an overlap because, as far as I see, the board's group is about to pick or to let a consultant pick a management or risk management framework. So there certainly is already some sort of overlap existing. The second point I would see overlapping is that we are charged to perform a risk assessment, and as far as I see, that then that the board group is about to task the consultant with risk assessment as well. So these are the two points I see overlapping, and taking into consideration that at least the last point, conducting in an assessment was virtually the point of the DSSA, and taking into consideration that this point is already is also tasked to the consultant, as far as I can see it, there certainly is the question whether or not we should go on. Thanks.
Thanks, York. Chris, you're next. Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me okay?
You bet.
Okay. Look, I don't think there's any... I want to stress I'm not pushing one way or the other again, but I don't think there's anything... I think you could quite easily and comfortably draw a line here if you wanted to. There is an argument, picking up on what you just said, I mean, there is an argument for saying... If you've reached a point of coming up with a methodology and you're now ready to do a risk assessment, that is something that ICANN could itself do. So maybe that's one way of looking at it, which is to say that, you know, using the, if you've got a guarantee or an understanding that the work that you've done is going to be used in the risk assessment, then, you know, you can gracefully allow that to be done by a consultant on behalf of ICANN, because that really strikes me as something which, given the changed circumstances, and they have changed, as Jim points out, you know, why should the volunteers do that and get to spend the time when it's clearly something that could be paid for by ICANN?
Okay, I think that's it for the queue. Let me circle through a few things and tell a few stories, and if I don't pay attention to the queue, just break in if you want to talk, because I've got a lot of balls in the air here at the moment. The first thing I want to do is I want to go back to our report, and I want to make a distinction about something that Jörg said, and that's about what the difference is between a risk management framework and a risk assessment framework. And what I would put forward is that what we came up with, York, is a methodology to do a risk assessment, but that a risk management framework is a bigger thing. And let me show you what I mean by that, if I can find it in the report here. Sorry to roll your eyes up and down, just people who are familiar with this nonsense on our calls are used to it. So what we did in the DSSA, and what is in our scope, is the oval at the top of that diagram, the risk assessment job. And in order to do that, we picked a methodology. We picked NIST, and we tailored it. And a darn fine job we did, too, if I might say so myself. However, risk management is a bigger thing and involves not just assessing, but also risk planning and the whole activity monitoring cycle. And so I am less concerned about that overlap than Jörg is. It is a little bit of an overlap, but in the report, and I'm not going to roll your eyes to find it, but somewhere around this point in the report, we do make the point that we picked that assessment framework because we felt like we needed to have a framework in order to do our work, but that this should not be considered a selection of a framework for ICANN. This was just a selection for us, and if it's a good one, ICANN's certainly welcome to accept it and carry on and build on it. So that's one distinction that I'd make. In terms of the board actually doing a risk assessment, I have to go to the RFP. And maybe this is a good spot to stay, because a lot of these diagrams also wound up in the RFP. So this is now the DNS RMF RFP document. I just sucked a copy off the web. And so, Patrick, I'm treading on your toes here. If you hear me doing something stupid, just break in and slap me around. But, you know, here's the first point, which is the description of what a risk management framework is. And, in fact, in this RFP, there's another description of that that says, you know, a risk management framework is actually even larger than that. There are tools and techniques and training and all kinds of things that should be considered by the consultant when they're building this framework, of which we, the DSSA, are that little tiny pie slice over on the lower right. Same point. And in that, what we were asking for was this stuff. And actually, that last bullet, that last part is a bullet. It just didn't get a bullet beside it. I don't know why. And you'll see that in that piece of the work, there is no assessment. This is the risk management framework job that we're asking the consultants to do. And at least from my vantage point, having lived through the whole DSSA thing, this is entirely consistent with the way that we've thought about ourselves within the DSSA. So that we, you know, this is above our pay grade. We did a bunch of work because we had to in order to do the risk assessment job. But this larger risk framework thing is not in our remit, and it's a good thing that somebody's doing it. Then, so that's the first big deliverable out of the DNS RMF job. Then there's this review that's supposed to happen where this framework, whatever is arrived at by the consultant, is supposed to be socialized with the rest of us in the community. They're supposed to go out and get a bunch of feedback, and they're supposed to get suggestions from us, and at the end of that socializing is a new version of the risk management framework. Not a risk, you know, which includes a risk assessment framework, but is bigger than that. So again, at least from Mikey's vantage point, this is fine. Chris is in the chat saying, Mikey, how much of these deliverables do you think that the DSSA has already done? And I think that the answer to your question, Chris, is that we've done a pretty good job on, well, let me go back to my little, on this one, on the first piece. We've got some room to make it better, but we've taken a pretty big bite out of that one. But the rest of those, both of these pictures, I don't feel like we've done much on that at all.
So, Mikey, it's Chris.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question then. If you were comfortable that the consultant was going to look at your work and use that as part of their doing the next steps, and that then they would be referred back, that what they say would be referred back to you, doesn't that give you effectively the option of doing nothing right now, letting the consultant do the job of assessing those deliverables, and then you've got the option, if you're comfortable, of stepping back and saying, fine, get on with it. And if you're not comfortable, of saying, well, you can do what you like, but we're going to do it our way. In other words, what I'm saying is we really need to make a decision now. wouldn't we be better to look and wait and see what the consultant says? As long as we're comfortable that the consultant is going to be reviewing and using what you've already done.
I think that's precisely my view, Chris. And that's a pretty good summary of
so
this.
And is there a reason to do anything while that's all happening, apart from finishing the public comment? Do you need to launch into a whole heap of new work, or can you all take a rest?
I think that there's one last thing that back to the shutting down versus hedging debate that Jim and I talked about. The reason that I pushed back on the shutting down and reconstituting the group conversation was because of the difficulty of spinning up a group like the DSSA. It took a long time to get it chartered. It's a lot of work to get it chartered. It's hard to build all that momentum. And so I was pretty reluctant to shut the DSSA down and form a new group. So I'm much happier with the idea of taking it easy for a while and letting the board work evolve. And then, as you say, Chris, taking a look at the work product and at that time deciding whether we want to continue. But the one thing I want to do in the interim is keep enough activity going that we don't accidentally shut down the DSSA and have to restart it. That's my only worry, really. Now I got to catch up on the chat. Hang on a minute. So Jorg was asking, Bill, have you tasked about or talked about tasking the consultant with performing an assessment? Bill saying, no, not at this time. That will happen. Patrick's in there saying that the assessment itself would be in phase two. Yeah, let me get that part back up on the screen because that's really where the RFP is at. Bill says, I think we are open on how that gets done by the consultant or the consultant and the community. Bill thinks that consultant and community or with the community is the right way forward. There's also an option C with staff with community rather than consultant with community, but he fears that that might be slower, and just to put words in his mouth, I think that's probably because the staff's pretty overloaded and it's going to be tough to come up with the cycles to get all that work done. So I would tend to agree with that. Mark likes going into hibernation and is less concerned about the restart. And there is one last thing. Let's see, anybody else? Oh, Bill's got his hand up. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks, Mikey. Yeah, just to amplify a little bit, as I see it, the role of the board working group is really to give an indication of the priority of the work and ensure that it's moving ahead at a reasonable pace. We really, as I said in Prague and I think the meeting before that, we really don't intend to do this work. It really, for a risk management framework to actually be successful, it's got to be really an integral part of the ICANN infrastructure itself, and that means it's going to be implemented primarily by staff in the final analysis, but it needs the community support and it needs the community to be watching and commenting on how it goes forward to ensure that it actually addresses the kinds of risks there are and stays up to date on that as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. And I think that the stuff that's on the screen in front of you does a pretty reasonable job of ensuring that. If you take a look at the stuff that's under number three there, where there's this big review cycle with the community, and then an optional phase two of the work where they execute a cycle of the framework. You know, to pick up on Chris's idea, one way to Jorg, if you're still on the call, thanks a million for your contribution. I hope we didn't miss honoring you. I think we did. I think you had to leave right at the bottom of the hour, and I just missed that. You know, I think that the stuff that's highlighted is the point at which we decide whether or not to come out of hibernation, for sure. With one exception, and this is something that I talked to some of you about in Prague. Let me get a different picture on the screen. And that's this picture, which is the one that we're working on with the group right now. One of the things that came out in our report is that there are a lot of different organizations that participate in DNS security. And they participate in a bunch of different ways. And we in the DSSA are thinking that it would be really useful to enrich this particular part of the report. We sketched out this picture in the report, but then on one of the calls, somebody said, hey, Mikey, why don't you take all the people that belong on this picture and put them on it? And I, like an idiot, said, sure, that sounds like a good idea, and totally broke my pick on that one. It turns out that there are an awful lot of organizations, and they play an awful lot of roles. And so I think the one piece of work that the group is pretty engaged in right now is this picture that's evolving on the screen in front of you. Oh, Patrick, there's a link to it down in the handy links thing. See the third one, gaps and overlaps slides? That's the file you're looking at on the screen. By all means, steal a copy. And I'm updating this on the wiki now, so as we go through successive iterations on the calls, the improvements will roll into this every week. And so I think in addition, you know, rather than totally going into hibernation, which we could do, but I think there is a really useful piece of work to be done. And between now and Toronto is only about 7 weeks, so it's not like we could do a whole bunch of work anyway. And so our approach to this is to draw this picture, which I'm hoping we're pretty close to final on, and then turn it into a table. This is a pretty early draft version of the table. It'll pop up in a second. And then go through this big long list of organizations that we've already developed and try and populate that table with some desk research. And then take that first draft to Toronto and ask people how we did. I think that there's a tremendous value in just knowing who's doing what in the ecosystem. This is broader than the risk management framework stuff. This is back to our charter, which is evaluating DNS risk, and one of the five topic areas that we identified was that there may be gaps and overlaps in these functions, and that may be creating risk. And so I think a useful piece of work between now and Toronto is to at least fill out this chart and then sort of see what develops with the work of the consultant and so on. So there, now I'm done ranting. Any observations from all of that rant before we try and come to some conclusions? Okay, Patrick is saying in the chat, this also fits with recommendation 4 of the SSRRT, which is documenting and defining the nature of SSR relationships. Yes, that's true. This is a sort of two-for-one deal. I'm always into that. Anything else to throw into the pot before we try and come to some conclusions? It sounds like we're pretty much on the same wavelength. It's too bad that York had to leave early. Olivier, you've been traveling. Are you at a place where you can hop off mute and chime in, or are you still going through security?
No, I am indeed in a quieter place than I was there before. It's Olivier for the transcript record. I've actually gone through security, and I don't know whether you've heard the actual X-ray going through you, but anyway, coming back to the discussion, I think it's I was very interested to hear what Bill had to say and also what Chris said. And certainly, now having been able to log on to the Adobe Connect room and seeing the three propositions, with Bill thinking that B would be the right way forward, I also would tend to go in that direction. I think that the consultant working with the community and specifically with this current working group that I would hope knows what they're talking about is something that would definitely bring together the professional and also the community. The concern I had so far with having a consultant appointed and working with staff and leaving the community aside, well, I had two concerns. The first one was, of course, that all of the work that this working group had done might be lost one way or other and therefore might have been seen as a waste of time by those people that took part in the working group. But at the same time also that it started becoming a top-down affair rather than a bottom-up affair, which is what we should really be striving towards. We should keep the bottom-up approach, and certainly getting the consultant to work with the community is, I think, something that will both bring the knowledge, the amount of time required to do this, but also the knowledge and the work that the community has done. With regards to the way forward, my only concern is if you do put the working group in a semi-hibernating state, we might lose some people along the way. But that said, we have already spoken in the past about the fact that we might need to bring some new people in and to let some people go, depending on the dynamics of which way we're going. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with the discussion at the moment. Now, that's all I can contribute for the time being. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivier. And I think that's a pretty good summary, actually, of perhaps where we're at. I think this slide probably needs a little work to reflect the notion that this slide would have us essentially start doing risk assessment stuff pretty much right after Toronto. And I think that the option B approach probably slides that out in time because it's unlikely that the consultant is going to be done with the work in the first two chunks of their charter. Well, I know they're not going to be done because at a minimum they have to go through the review cycle. So I think that we do need another draft of this work plan, but I'm not going to do it on the phone. Mark, Jim, are you equally comfortable with sort of the option B approach that Bill has put out there?
Works for me. This is Jim.
I mean, essentially, yeah, okay. Mark, you okay?
I'm okay, too. I guess I'm more concerned about what is our role in this and in the discussion of standing down or not.
Expand that a little bit.
I'm personally still very much confused about the boundaries and everything else that's going on here. And I'm wondering if we should just, it kind of, what Jim echoed this as well, is maybe we should just see what happens, and everything is being shaken up right now, and see how things actually land.
Yeah, I think that's essentially what we're all saying. We're saying it in different ways. I've got one little piece of work that I want us to finish, that chart that I showed you. But aside from that, I think one way to read this picture is to say that the DSSA is spinning down to a much lower energy level for a while until the consultant's work has had a chance to unfold. And then once that's done, then the DSSA has the option to, you know, I think Chris said it, you know, we can either say, yay, verily, way to go, we're perfectly happy with the way things are going and we will end, or the sort of option B approach, which is that as the consultants actually do the heavy lifting of the risk assessment and turn the crank of the rest of the methodology one turn, that we ride along on that bus, but that we no longer drive it. And the reason that we ride along is because we know a lot and because we've already built a fair amount of the assessment methodology that could be used. But I think that what we're saying in essence is exactly what you just said. Let's let the dust settle a bit from the DNS RMF. Let's not push real hard to go in parallel with them, and then reevaluate once it's done.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Mikey.
Okay, Patrick got a note in the chat. Says the participants in the DSSA could use this opportunity to go back their groups and have them review the Phase 1 report and provide input. The concern I see is, what if no comments come back on the Phase 1 report? What does the group do? And I think that's, I guess in my mind, that's been assumed that, you know, another arrow on this chart that wouldn't go away is the public comment cycle. I think we just have to let that one unfold and see what happens. But I think that the top arrow on the right that says review report and obtain AC and supporting organization endorsement is indeed that cycle, Patrick. If no comments come back, I think at that point, then we have to put the screws to the ACs and SOs and say, come on, people, you have to chime in here a bit. At a minimum, you have to endorse it. So I think we've got a mechanism to get that done. And Olivier is agreeing with Patrick, not with me, but he's agreeing that we certainly need to spend this time going back to the community a bit. And I agree, too. Okay, it's 10 minutes to the hour. I think we've got a plan. Oh, Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. Now that we have Chris on the call, I was just wondering whether in his view, and I'm sorry, I might have missed it a bit earlier, but I couldn't stick my head in the X-ray machine. In his view, the group itself has gone the way that he thought, he and his colleagues thought it was going to go. And whether he believes that the group should be going further in this direction, or whether it basically has done what it needed to do to reach a level where it could actually even consider the option of stopping altogether.
Mikey, it's Chris. I'm happy to answer that.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So, yes, Olivia, I think it's done an extraordinary job, and I think the solution that's been suggested is an excellent solution. I'm hopeful that everything will all come together, and at a time in the future, whenever that is, the DSSA will just be able to close up its knapsack or close up its tent and move on. But the solution that we're talking about allows for the possibility that things don't go the way that we would like, and then we can take charge of our own destiny again. But as an overarching comment, yes, I think the working group's done exactly what it was required to do, needed to do at the time.
Glad to hear that.
Except, of course, for Mikey, who...
well, yeah, I mean...
...been a rogue from the start.
Yeah. Poor Mikey. He hates everything.
We're working on that, Chris. He will disappear soon.
Yeah. great. Okay. I think we're sort of at concluding comments time. I have a sense of where we're going. I will take an action to rejigger this chart, because this chart isn't a good reflection quite of what we're doing, but it's easy to do. I'll listen to the transcript and get a draft out. And Bill, if it's okay with you, I guess I have kind of a logistical question. You know, one way to view me in this is I'm sort of the project manager for the DSSA. I run the meetings, I draw the pretty pictures, et cetera. Is there a kind of an equivalent operating, coordinating person on the DNS-RMF side that I should be pushing drafts to, just to iron out the logistical stuff?
Not at this point, there isn't, no.
Okay.
So I guess that means yes, me.
Yeah, that was my grateful way to ask permission to send you stuff and let you take a look at it. When I send it out to the ops group, I'll send it to you too. And
good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're the man that came up with option two, or option B, so I got to make sure that what I draw actually looks like what you meant.
Yeah,
okay.
No, happy to do that.
Anything else that people want to chime in on at this point? Otherwise, we'll call it a day a few minutes early and carry on. I'm not hearing a crush at the barricades, so with that, let me thank both Chris and Bill for taking time out of their really busy schedules to join us today. I think this was an incredibly helpful, clarifying conversation, and we will strive to incorporate everything that you've shared with us into what we're doing from now on. That's it for me. Bill, go ahead.
Bill, thanks very much. I want to just thank you all for taking time to do this call as well. I think I appreciate your vigilance and concern about avoiding overlap. I'm completely in agreement about making sure that this remains firmly in the bottom-up camp of projects. So I'd just like to invite you, if you see us slipping away from that, shout. Thanks again.
Terrific. Okay. Well, I think those are good last words. So with that, we'll call it a day. Christina, I think you can end the recording. And again, thanks to all. We'll see most of you on Thursday. And thanks again to Bill and Chris.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks again. Bye-bye.